Now shall we pray. We usually conclude a period of meditation with the prayer we've shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we give them whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves. You know, only. We ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work, and we can easily see why. Now, Bill now is telling us how we should pray. This, too, takes practice. As Charlie said, you know, I was brand new at, you know, I had never prayed a prayer like this. All my prayers were from what I had been taught and what I had been experienced too, was just giving God orders. And it's like a list of Santa Claus. God, do this, and God, do this, and give me this, and give me that, and give me that, and do this, and give me that.
Brother Santa.
Yeah, okay. But I was raised in the church, in a little church. I was raised in the Baptist. I was raised in the Methodist. Them Baptists will drown you. You know, I don't like a lot of water. But anyway, in our church, I was this guy, I guess, there as a baby in the pew, on the second pew in our church. There was another brother in our church in the same pew that prayed every Sunday morning, Brother Sanders. I never forget the man. I can see him in his brown suit. And he would do the prayer every morning. I guess it was in bad shape. Take him about a half hour to pray for us. And I remember his prayers. He would ask God for everything in heaven. You know, he would start off by saying, God help the president and his wife and the sick and the poor and the shut in. And he talked about the junior choir and the senior choir, bless them, the Boy Scouts and the ladies' aid, and God start the war and start to stop the rain. And he'd go all through all this stuff about a half hour. But what I never should forget his closing statement. It must have impressed me. Because his final statement every Sunday morning was, Lord, that in haste, which we have omitted, please grant us that also.
That just about covers everything, doesn't it, huh?
You know, if we left it out, we still want it, you know. And it's pretty difficult when you come to AA. It takes practice to change. It's a complete revolutionary change in our prayer life. To pray to God. Ask God for nothing for ourselves. Right? I realize, you know, we know that God knows my every need. You know, I have turned my will over to Him. God knows my need far greater than I do. So I don't need to petition God but what I want or what I need. He's not interested in what I want. And I would have been, I would have really, I think about where we are today, how I would have shorted myself. If I was been able, somebody, God told me, just make a list of everything you want. I will give you everything you want. If He had given me that deal 33 years ago, and I had been able to sit down with everything I want, I would have really shorted myself, right? Because God has given me things far beyond my imagination. And He still has the same deal today. You know, the things He wants for me to have are far greater than I can ever imagine. So why should I? Bill said one of the greatest things he learned in the steps, and this is a lot of information. He said one of the greatest things he learned in the steps was how to use prayer and meditation to receive God's will rather than to use prayer by itself to sway God's will and list His petty needs. You know, these are powerful tools. So, you know, after we learn, and this takes practice, this can't be done overnight, it takes practice to formulate a life, but if we use this definite and valuable suggestion, praying only for God's will, we will finally develop that type of prayer life, effective prayer. Now the next paragraph is going to do with some, these are all definitely valuable suggestions. The morning, the night, the indecision, the prayer. Now these, now he has thrown in some many suggestions, I like some small ones, that you can also be helpful to us. Let's look at those. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives to friend to join us in morning meditation. That might be helpful. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. There's another one that can be helpful. If not, remember religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. That's a small one that can be very helpful. There are many helpful books also that can be helpful. Suggestions may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they have to offer. That can be helpful in our life of prayer and meditation.
Now let's see what these suggestions have covered. They told us at the top of page 86 in the first paragraph what to do when we go to bed at night. In the next paragraph, he told us on what to do when we awaken in the morning. The last paragraph on 86, he told us what to do if we face indecision about today. On page 87, he's told us how to pray. Now then, he's going to tell us what to do throughout the day if we are agitated or doubtful or face indecision. So you see, he pretty well covers it all. The morning, the night, how to pray, and now what are we going to do through the middle of the day?
As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show.
What did we used to do through the day when we were agitated or doubtful? Hell, we just bullheadedly went right on through.
That's right.
Romped and stomped and raised hell and screwed everything up. He said, let's don't do that anymore. Let's stop. Let's ask God for the right thought or action. And if we do that, then we're in much less danger of fouling things up. It only takes a few seconds. Very valuable suggestion.
I'm saying to ourselves, many times each day, thy will be done. Now when we do this, if we can use these definitely valuable suggestions, look what happens. Said we are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. Now we can get more living done in a day's time. You know, I was always tired and never doing anything. Never, you know, the way we live, we burn up a lot of energy. Become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily. And here's the reason. For we're not burning up energy foolishly we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works, it really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined. He didn't say the new alcoholic. He didn't say the drinking alcoholic. We alcoholics are undisciplined people. So we let God discipline us the simple way He's outlined, through prayer and meditation and these definite and valuable suggestions. God can discipline our undisciplined lives. Okay, but this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
Now we're going to talk just a few minutes about step 12 and then we'll be through. We're not going to even attempt to go through the next chapter. It would simply take too long. But if we look at step 12, we'll see once again that it is a multiple part step. Three distinct things. And the first part of step 12, I think, is probably the greatest promise to be found anywhere in the Big Book. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. It didn't say a result or some result, it said the result, singular. I believe that we can be assured that if we will apply the first 11 steps in our life to the best of our ability, that we're going to have a spiritual awakening as the result of that. Now, what is a spiritual awakening? Well, Appendix 2 tells us it's a personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. In the 12 and 12, he says there's as many kind of spiritual awakenings there are people in AA, but they've all got certain things in common, and that is that we're able to feel, believe, and do things we could never do before on our own strength unaided. Now, if that's the criteria, then I and many others in this room have had some kind of spiritual awakening. I feel things I've never felt before. I feel love, patience, tolerance, compassion, and goodwill toward my fellow man. I certainly never felt any of that before I came to AA. I always came first, period. I could have cared less about you. I believe things I've never believed before. I believe God is a kind and a loving God. I believe He stands ready to help any human being anywhere in the world the instant they're ready to give up on self-will and turn back to Him. Always before, I thought He was hellfire and brimstone, a punishing God, not a God of mercy. Thank God He is not a God of justice. If He was a God of justice, I wouldn't be here this morning. And some of you guys wouldn't be here this morning either. Surely He's a God of mercy. Pure love. I believe that with all my heart today. I can do things I could never do before. By golly, I can stay sober. And I never could do that before. And because of that sobriety, I can do many, many, many things that I never dreamed possible before. Who would ever have thought that someday we would be sitting here in this room talking about the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous? It absolutely blows our mind every time we're invited to go somewhere and do this. You know, we're not supposed to be able to do this. Thank God we can, because of the book itself. So, if we've had the spiritual awakening, then we must always realize there are no free rides in this world. You never get something for nothing. We are charged with two responsibilities. Now, and the first one is we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics. Not this message, or not the message, this message. Not a message, not some message. This message. And what is this message? Why, it's so simple. Well, it goes like this. If you're still restless, irritable, and discontented, if you're still filled with shame, fear, guilt, and remorse, I know exactly where you're coming from, because I used to be there too. And I picked up the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I applied the first 11 steps to my life to the best of my ability. And I'm not that way any longer. And if you don't want to be that way any longer, then you apply the first 11 steps, and you're not going to be that way either. And that's the only message we've got. You know, my God, we get to fancying ourselves as healers, economic advisors, spiritual advisors. We don't know anything about that stuff. But I tell you what we do know. We know about alcoholism. You and I are the experts in the field of alcoholism. We know more about it than anybody alive. We are the experts in recovery. We're the only people that's ever done it. And we can take this very, very unique knowledge that we have, and we can use it to avert death in countless thousands and thousands of alcoholics, if we're willing to carry this message. Now, people get to talking about what is God's will for us. I don't have any problem with that at all. You know, I'm convinced in my mind that in the 1930s, God got tired of seeing people like us die. I'm convinced that He took Bill and Bob, the first 100. He took Dr. Jung, Dr. Silkworth, and all the others, and put this thing together so we could have it as we've got it today. Too many coincidences took place in the 1930s for it to have been anything other than God's will. Now, if He picked people to work then, and that's what He usually does when He wants to help people, He'll work with people through people, and if He picked them then, and they're all dead today, then surely He's still picking them today.
There's not an alcoholic in this room that ought to be here. Not an alcoholic in this room that ought to be here. Every one of us ought to be dead. Some of us two or three times. And we used to say, my, wasn't we lucky last night? Luck didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
You know, I think God picked you out. And he lets you suffer your alcoholism so you can learn what he wanted you to know. And when he got ready to use you, and you reached your bottom, then he removed the obsession to drink. You see, he can't use you until you yourself have reached bottom. And when you become willing, then he removes the obsession to drink. And the only question in our mind today is, what are we doing about it? They tell me that 97 out of 100 alcoholics are going to die, never even knowing they're alcoholic. 3% of us stumble into AA. And as you and I know, less than half of us are recovering. We're only talking about 1 out of 100. Used to, I said, God, why am I an alcoholic? Today I say, God, why am I not one of those dying from alcoholism? Now, the fellow that brought the big book to my friend Joe, in the state insane asylum in the state of Arkansas, well over 30 years ago, was a little fellow named Ora. And Ora later died drunk in a car wreck. The fellow that took me to my first AA meeting and took me to the hospital on my last drunk is a fellow named Floyd. And today Floyd is a hopeless cripple and a wet brain. Why them and not Joe and I? See, God took care of you. That's why you're here. And people say, well, I'm afraid to try to carry this message. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody. And my sponsor said, Charlie, you can't hurt an alcoholic. He said, hell, they're going to die anyhow. He said, get with it and start helping it. Let's look at just how simple carrying this message really is now. Let's go to page 92 for just a second. Top of the page, it says, tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we've done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. If you're satisfied that he's a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Isn't that what our book did to us? In the doctor's opinion in the first four chapters. Page 93. He has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question if he will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he doesn't have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and he live by spiritual propensity. Isn't that what our book did to us? In the first four chapters, page 94, first paragraph. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. Isn't that what our book did to us? In chapters 5, 6, and 7. So you see, our book has made a 12-step call on us this weekend. And all we got to do to help others is do what our book does for us. Working with others is just as valid today as it was in the 1930s. You've got all the information you need in this chapter to tell you exactly how to 12-step call, how to work with one of them, how to sponsor one of them. There need be no question about how to do this. You see, alcoholics haven't changed. And this chapter doesn't need to change. Now, we got to do one more thing, one more responsibility. And we tried to practice these principles. in all our affairs. What are the principles? We've heard arguments that's gone on for days over this. I think it's very simple. And how it works, Bill says, do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. What do you set down just before that statement? The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. In the front of the 12 and 12, he says the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are a set of principles, spiritual in nature. Every time I've ever seen him mention the word principles, it's always been with the 12 steps. That's what they are. This is just another word that Bill uses. He doesn't want to say steps twice in step 12, so he'll say steps once, and then he said principles. One place he calls them steps. Another one he calls them guidelines. Another one he calls them tenets. Another one he calls them proposals. Another one he calls them principles. All meaning the same thing. Now it's easy for me to practice the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in AA. Because I love you and I hope you love me, and we're going to do our best not to hurt each other. But what do we do the other 23 hours a day? I'm only in AA about an hour a day at the most. What do I do the other 23 hours? Can I practice these principles, these steps in my home with my wife? Can I admit how powerless I really am over that lady? Can I realize the insanity of trying to control her, knowing full well that I can't? Can I make a decision to turn her will and her life over to the care of God as I understand Him? Can I inventory me and find those defects of character which keep me trying to control? Can I talk about that to another human being? Can I become willing to have God take those character defects away and ask Him to do so? Can I make amends to her quickly when I've harmed her? You know, there's times I'm ashamed of me. There's times I treat absolute strangers on the street with more courtesy than I treat my own wife and my own home. Just think, if I could practice these principles there with her and she with me, why, we might pick up 10, 12, 14 hours a day that we could be peaceful, happy, and free in our home. If we don't practice them, we don't stand a chance. We're at each other's throat continually. How about with my kids? Can I practice them there? If I can, what little time I have with them is good times. If I don't, I try to control, they resist, we have no good times at all. Might pick up another hour or two a day there. How about on the job? Could I do it with my coworkers? Can I realize the stupidity in me trying to control everybody around me on the job? Can I make a decision to turn that over to care of God as I understand Him? If I could practice these principles on the job, I might pick up another 8 hours a day. You know, aren't we really saying that you and I have the tools that we could be peaceful, happy, and free 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, if we want to? My old sponsor used to say, Charlie, you can be just as happy as you want to be. And I'd say, you old fart. You have no idea what you're talking about. Today I hear myself saying to people, you can be just as happy as you want to be. You've got the tools to do it with. Now God's not going to do it for you. Other people aren't going to do it for you. But you, with God's help and the help of other people, can do it for yourself. I think we're the luckiest people in the world. Most people do not have this opportunity. Let's go to page 164, last two paragraphs, and then we're through.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God, that we constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for a man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God.
And we did that in steps 1, 2, and 3.
Admit your faults to him and to your fellows.
We'll do that in 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Clear away the records of the past.
We'll do that in 8 and 9.
Give freely of what you find and join us.
And we'll do that in 10, 11, and 12.
We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God keep you. May God bless you and keep you until then.
God bless you. We love you.
God bless you.
Thanks for letting us be here.